This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
The polls are off and running. And Dan and Jason Bernstein are here to keep you up to date with the Stampede. You're listening to Organizations Win Championships.
Welcome to the 10th episode of the Organizations Win Championships podcast. I am Jason Bernstein, and that is Dan Bernstein.
Hello.
My father slash co-host. We have Rick Camp as our producer and research guy, and it's been a hell of a couple of games for the Bulls, and if we thought they were going to go 1-1 against the Thunder and the Warriors, I don't think it would have happened the way we expected, because they picked up a double-digit win over the Warriors with Vucevic putting up 43-13 and a bad, bad loss to OKC. However, I'm very happy for my Bucknell guy, Mike Muscala.
Actually, when you think about this team, should it surprise us?
Not
this
really.
This really does kind of play to their MO all year of losing to a bad team and beating a good team. It's that game was 124-110, and it didn't feel that close. The Bulls right now, we should also say, are 20-24. They're tied for 10th in the East with the Toronto Raptors. Now, my experience of watching the Bulls and the Thunder was a strange one, because I was watching on my phone on the NBC Sports Chicago, my team's app, while sitting at the Kohl Center watching the Wisconsin men's hockey team get boat raced by the U.S.
A bunch of kids that are younger than I am.
Yes, by the men's U18. I don't know what I don't know how many teams they have.
I was like men, USA U18. Men's team, something like that.
Something, whatever.
They were really good.
Oh my god, were they good? And Wisconsin's a proud, prominent hockey program, and Tony Granato's coaching them. And man, did they get killed! But I was watching the Bulls game, so my reactions to the Bulls game were not syncing up with what was going on exactly in the hockey game.
And everyone thought you were a madman.
I was getting some strange looks because I kept saying, "Oh." Oh, like it wasn't even the puck wasn't even in play in the hockey game, and I'm there moaning and groaning, and I'm doing my usual. Would somebody box out one time? The stuff that Josh Giddey was doing, going through everybody, he's getting really good.
He is really good. He is. People don't really talk about him, but His game is similar to LaMelo Ball. He's not quite the same. He's averaging 16-8-6 while shooting 48% from the field this season.
What is he shooting from three?
Let me check that.
Because
even though we have, if we I have remember, a research guy. But
if I remember correctly,
3-point field goal percentage is 34.
And if I remember correctly, he's started working with shooting coach Chip Englund, who I've known from minor league basketball from way back. He went to Duke back in the day before it was cool. And he's a really close friend of Steve Kerr's. And Chip has made a name for himself as a shooting coach, sort of just a professional shot doctor for NBA three-point guys. And Giddy already has the stuff you cannot teach. He already has instinct and awareness, and you can tell he's a pro.
Yeah, there's a little, and with his passing, there's a little bit of Luka in him. Luka's a little bit advanced, and he's
more than a little.
I would say top three player in the NBA right now. He's been on a tear. I think he's that good. I think he's up there with Giannis and Jokic. I think that's my top three right now. But Giddy is doing some of that, and it seems like every single year there's some international guy that comes out of Europe, Australia, and anybody, and then they just start doing all this stuff that we've never seen before. And the Europeans and the international guys are really taking over the NBA. When three of the top five are international players, that's pretty cool to see. I don't know if that's ever been done before, but they're really taking over the game, and Giddy is no exception.
The stats that jump out for me in this game are Zach LaVine's 1 of 8 shooting from 3-point range. Ayo Dosunmu's 0 for 5 turn from the field, along with 3 turnovers and 4 fouls to go along with just 2 assists and no steals. He was terrible. And keep your eye once again on Kobe White, who was 7 of 15, 4 of 9 from 3, 19 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists off the bench.
Wait, 19 points? Say that again?
6.
19, 6, and 6.
In 32 minutes.
He can play.
Yep.
And I'm worried that the Bulls have more of a commitment to Ayo than Kobe. I don't know if it's because this regime drafted Ayo and they didn't draft Kobe. I don't know if it's because of defensive liability with Kobe White, because we know Ayo is a very responsible defender for the most part. But if I need to keep one of those two, I would keep Kobe 10 times out of 10, just because of what he can do with the ball in his hands. And even without it, he's a great catch and shoot player. And Ayo did have a couple of threes against the Warriors, but it just seems like Kobe recently has been consistently producing for them. And this team needs offense. This team needs a spark. They need threes, and Kobe White is a big source of that.
I think to close out the information on Josh Giddey, by the way, Rick Kemp tells us that Giddey's shooting 40.6% from three since the start of December. Since December 1st, he is in the 50-40-90 club, over 50% from the floor, over 40% from three, and 91% from the line, averaging 17.6, 8.5 rebounds, and 6 assists since December 1st.
Those are good numbers.
Oh, man, yeah.
He'll probably be in the Rising Stars game, but if he keeps putting up those numbers and maybe even more in years to come, I don't see why he wouldn't be an all-star. He doesn't get much recognition across basketball fans, just because he's an OKC and I wouldn't say they're fully rebuilding right now, because they do have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who we really haven't mentioned yet. And he's a pretty good basketball player, to say the least. But Giddy is doing something in OKC that I feel like it's going to be louder in a couple of years. We're going to know about it. We're going to hear about it, and it could be dangerous for some teams in the Western Conference.
So they dropped that one, and we're feeling like garbage, and then we think, oh boy, here come the Golden State Warriors, and now this is just going to be a bloodbath, and I'll be damned.
Without DeRozan, both games.
I will say this, though. If you just looked at the final score and said, oh, the Bulls won by 14, and look how big they were up early, it did not indicate how close this game really was.
Second and third quarter, I would say start of the second quarter to middle of the third, it was dead even for a lot of it. And it wasn't really until the fourth quarter where the Bulls really pulled away in a meaningful aspect, where just seemed like they couldn't miss. Obviously, I don't know what got into Vucevic that night, but or that afternoon, but he was on one, and he tied his career high, which he put up against the Bulls. I remember that game. That was the year they traded for him. It was the first year of the Acme regime, and he put up 43, and it was like he was the second player to put up some wild stat line in Magic history, with tied with Shaq. And we were just like, ugh, this guy. And it seemed like he couldn't miss every single time he played the Bulls. And then he came to Chicago, and we thought we'd get that. We haven't really gotten that, but I mean, the other day, we saw a glimpse of that Orlando Magic Vucevic that we haven't seen in a while.
And his comments, I want to get to his comments in a moment, because what he said.
You've been talking about that for, you know, the past 48 hours.
It mattered what he said.
I know, you couldn't stop talking about it.
Well, that's what I do for a living. And you're talking about the Bulls too for a avocation. I just think that this has been a season of subtweeting from a lot of the comments that are made. Go ahead.
Yeah, I pointed out early how when the Zach and Billy drama was happening, I pointed out how passive aggressive everyone was seeming. And Vucevic has continued that trend.
He said, I was just getting to my spots. I was able to move to my spots. I was able to get shots in the flow of the offense. And then he talked about being finishing a deep roll with a hard seal, finishing off moving toward the pocket, receiving the pocket pass as he kind of flattens out toward the short corner, and then being able to get into rhythm with that top of the key three. He hit 5 of his 10 threes, and you have a tell for when he shoots his threes, because I don't know how you do it, but you have a
You're
way.
Saying I have a tell?
Yeah, when we watch you, I don't know what you're looking for, but usually you say that's going in, and every time you say it's going in, it does.
I look at his feet. Sometimes if he jumps backward on any shot, it never goes in, unless it's like a fadeaway. A fadeaway, sometimes it goes in, but if it's a standstill and it seems like he drifts back, he's going to miss it. It's when his feet are moving forward, but also at the basket. When his feet are square and moving forward, that's when I think the ball is going to go in. I don't know. I never pay attention to his wrist or his hand. The only thing I look at are his feet, and if his toes are square and if he moves forward with his body, I think when he does both of those things, I always say it's going to go in. And I'm right, I would say over 50% of the time.
Oh, I would say way more than that. Just it might be observational bias, but I do think you're right more often than that. So when he says that, though, he's obviously talking about DeMar. He has to be, because we know the offense has to pause when DeMar has the ball and needs to do his thing.
He's not the flow disruptor. He's the flow disruptor, like two E's.
Like
he's
the Ohio State University?
Yeah, he's the flow disruptor.
Yeah, it's and I understand it. And it's not necessarily to say that he's bad at his job. It's just the way he's got to work.
Yeah, yeah, that's who DeMar is. And that's nothing against him. He's a great scorer, and we've known that. It's just he does disrupt the flow, and it's clear when you hear that from Vooch, and it's clear when you watch that game. Even then, it seemed like Zach LaVine was hitting some shots, and Kobe White had 15 off the bench. I think every starter had at least 10, and Derek Jones played pretty well. So
Yeah, that's true. Levine had 27, Io 12. He played much better in a bounce back game. Vooch, the aforementioned, 43.
Patrick Williams had 10.
Yeah. Caruso had 12 points, 9 boards, 7 assists, 2 steals.
Against the Warriors, Steve Kerr again probably said, "We'd love to have you," like he did in that first game.
And they might have him. And Kobe White, once again, he hit both his threes. He was 6 of 7 from the floor, 15 points, 3 boards.
Took 2 threes?
2 steals in 25 minutes. The numbers that
jumped... He only took 2 threes? Hold on.
Yeah. I had him as 2 for 2.
I shoot more. Have him take 5.
What jumps off the page here for me, Draymond was horrible. Draymond Green in 32 minutes was a minus 24. He scored 8 points and he did have 7 assists, but he turned it over 6 times. They had 23 turnovers. Curry had 8 turnovers. Curry was 3 of 10 from 3. He scored only 20 points. He turned it over 8 times. Draymond Green turned it over 6 times. Jordan Poole had 4 turnovers, 23 total turnovers for the game, and the Bulls only turned it over 10. Everything else was relatively equal. The Bulls hit 15 threes, and the Warriors were 21 of 51, so they can't complain about their three-point shooting. And Klay Thompson with 8 of them.
Yeah. Say what you want about Draymond. His podcast numbers are probably great. Everybody listens to that podcast. I don't know. I don't think you know who he is. I mentioned him, but there's a YouTuber by the name of Flight Reacts, and he's a huge Warriors fan. And so I watched that. He reacts to the highlights on YouTube. I watched that video.
Wait, his name is Flight Reacts, or his name
that's
is
his
Flight?
YouTube. Flight Reacts is his YouTube channel. It's a react. Okay. He reacts to things. His YouTube name is Flight. He saw the stats after the game, after the highlights, and the first thing he said was Draymond with the triple single.
Yeah, he's bad.
And it was pretty funny. And he always has these nicknames for guys. Speaking of which, he calls Anthony Lamb chops, which I don't know. Every single time he shoots the ball, he just screams lamb chops.
He's good.
He's really good. Yeah.
And I'm pissed that I burned a really good showdown.
Yeah, you got me
but it didn't count.
It's unofficial.
It didn't count because you didn't know that Anthony Lamb went to Vermont. Because
Now I do. I'm never going to forget that now. Yeah. That's the issue, because I don't forget things like that, but I forget how to do math. So, yeah.
Are they the catamounts? Is that right? I think.
No idea. I'm not really with small schools except the Patriot League.
Well, you better know the Patriot League.
I better know. Yeah. Patriot League's pretty awesome. But
as far as you know, I mean, you're interested in 6 of the 10 schools, but.
Yeah, that's not very many. But yeah, the Patriot League is really sick. Back to the topic. Anthony Lamb was really good. I liked his game. He had 12 in the first half. I think he ended with 14, if I'm not mistaken. He can make shots, and he's a good defender. And he actually came up through the G League.
And you know who else makes shots?
Dante DiVincenzo?
Yes!
No, he's one of those guys. I've been saying this for 2 years that I've always liked him. He's one of these Kevin Huerter. Not that good. I feel like I say it every episode where I compare some guy to Kevin Huerter, and then I just say not that good because Kevin Herter's been great. Either the Bogdanoviches. He's a shot maker. He's a shot maker wing. Yeah, that's what... He's really good. He's really good. Just a bench 3-point dude.
So they caught him on a good night.
What college? Who? You should know that. DiVincenzo.
Oh, I do know. Villanova?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Nice.
They have all those guys with like the polysyllabic Italian names. I remember because Archidiacono and DiVincenzo are both Villanova.
I mean, it's Philly, so like...
But they're not from Philly, are they?
I don't know, but it seems like everybody in Philly's name would be Dante DiVincenzo and Ryan Archidiacono.
There's a reason why those guys were extremely popular in the certain Philly community. It wouldn't surprise me one bit. But who do I mix him up? There's a guy I used to mix DiVincenzo up with who I think I don't anymore. It's not Dellavedova, was it? Because that was the other guy that reminded me.
Well, they were both on the Bucks.
It was Matthew Dellavedova. Yeah. And then they had DiVincenzo and Dellavedova at the same time. But Dellavedova was kind of a penis, though, right? Where's he now?
Dellavedova, I think he's in Sacramento.
No, he's not the league.
He got signed this year. I don't know if he's still here. He took a couple of years overseas, and I think he signed with Sacramento.
Now,
and they're great. I'm Sacramento? Scared of that team. Yeah, they're fourth in the West.
So speaking of, he is. Yeah, apparently Delly, according to Rick Camp, our producer, is now the Sacramento Victory cigar that he gets in late. Boy, he's come a long way then from being like a key playoff cog against the
Bulls. Oh, yeah. He was Australian Jimmy. Alex Caruso.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
While we're talking about internationals, the Bulls are now in Paris, and the Bulls will be playing the woebegone Pistons. If they can't get a win out of this one, we should just pack this thing up.
And I don't know if you've heard this, Jalen Duren, the rookie center out of Memphis, he forgot his passport. And they all took a picture in front of the Eiffel Tower, and just there's no Jalen Duren. Because he forgot his passport.
Oh, so he's not there yet.
No.
So they called it a favor. They called the State Department or something. I thought they got him there.
I don't know. So we're going to have to see if Jalen Duren can play on Thursday.
I don't know.
No, you should care. He's...
I thought it was hurt.
No.
I'm pretty sure.
He's hurt? Oh, he wasn't going to play anyway? Okay.
I'm pretty sure he had been hurt.
Okay.
But they're in Paris. Now, we were, as a family, in Paris relatively recently. You consider yourself a world traveler. So I'm trying to think of...
What? No, I don't.
Trying to think from our experience and from your experience, what advice would you give the Bulls about making the most of a Paris tourist experience?
Go to the Saint-Germain crepe stand and get a cinnamon and sugar crepe. The green one.
The green one? Oh, the one by the metro entrance,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, by the church.
Do you remember how to say sugar and cinnamon in French?
No.
Come on.
No.
Seriously?
Sucre
et... Come on.
Canal. Canal.
Sucre et canal, right? Is that right? I think that's right. Yeah, that was good. Also, my advice for going to Paris, don't forget underpants.
You found that luckily there was a gap right by where we were staying, which is nice. But
there was a gap between my ass and my pants. I can tell you that. but I did. We went to Paris and we got there and I was looking. I need a pair. Like, wait a second. I forgot underpants. And so my wife says, wait, you forgot a specific pair of underpants? I said, no, I forgot
everyone.
I forgot all the underpants. I have none of them. So luckily, yes, within, a half a block.
Do you still have those underpants or no?
Yeah. Why would I not? What's wrong with them?
How old was I when we went to France?
Oh, I've got older ones than that.
Oh, my God.
What? The ones that mom says technically aren't underpants anymore because they're pretty much just a waistband with like random strips of fabric hanging from
I love how you're voluntarily sharing this.
What do I
that you wear underpants with holes in them.
But I love those. Those are
disgusting.
Worn, no, it's not. They're worn in.
Oh, but, it's not a baseball glove.
So, well, kind of. It's your best friend. I would. So I would say you're right. The green crepe stand in Saint-Germain.
Don't mistake water for eggs. Basically, so this is a little story time. We were all out to breakfast at a little cafe.
We were going to just stop. Remember, we were just going to stop, get some water and go on
and
with
leave.
Our day.
Just get some water. And my mom, instead of asking for four flat waters, which is quatre eau plat, instead says quatre œuf plat, which is four egg plate. So
four plates of eggs.
So, no, I was doing it in the order in which I said it.
But
in
you remember?
French.
You didn't set it up because remember, I left because I forgot my jacket. So I said, hey,
I don't remember that.
And I said, honey, order four waters so we can all have a bottle of water. We'll all throw it in our bag so we can go. I forgot which museum we were going to. So I said, just get four waters. And so I left. I go back to the flat. I get my jacket. And I come back. By the time I walk
there,
there's like six waiters walking out with. It was like a farce. They're walking out with plate after plate of fried eggs, and
it was awesome.
Covering the table and
with
fried
like a ton
eggs.
Of butter and chive, and it was awesome.
I had how many?
A lot.
I think I had seven eggs because at that point I wasn't even planning on eating anything.
But
I
was like, screw it.
We bought them. These are not going to waste.
And they're French eggs.
And they're French eggs, which means they're awesome. So we did okay. I don't think we finished all of them.
I don't know.
That was pretty outstanding fried egg slurping, I thought. So, yes,
fried egg slurping. I've never heard that term.
Don't confuse quatre eau plat with quatre œuf plat. That would be the lesson for your Chicago Bulls.
Let's play a game. Who would be most likely to do the same thing that mom did on that trip? Like, which bull would mistake or accidentally say four plates of eggs instead of four waters?
Dale and Terry.
Drummond.
Drummond would be most likely to not leave any of the eggs. I'm worried about that dude. He could put on 25 pounds.
Look at him when he was on the Pistons. He was just a moose. And now he's too moose. Rick, is Andre Drummond a fat? Yeah, you determine.
You all caps,
determine,
yes.
Determine.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Andre Drummond is officially a fat.
I wonder if any... Well, Vooch speaks...
According to Rick, not me.
Vooch speaks French fluently. Because he...
So he won't mess it up.
He grew up, I think, in Switzerland, right? Switzerland and Belgium?
He's from Montenegro.
He is, but I believe he spent a lot of his childhood in Switzerland and Belgium. So much like... Here you go. Who is the last bull from Switzerland?
Ooh. I don't really know many Switzerland players other than many Swiss players other than Clint Capella. A Swiss bull. Paul Zipser was from Germany.
Yes.
Cameron Bairstow was from Australia. I'm digging into these archives right now.
This is a good one.
Is it 2010s?
Yeah.
2000s?
No, it's the 20. It's the 20 teens.
2010s. Oh, come God. Did they have Nike? Was Zach LaVine here when this guy played for them?
Okay. You should know this.
Omer Asik was Turkish.
Yep, still is. He hasn't renounced his Turkishness.
Just like, I don't know if Enes Freedom, I think his name is now. He's having some drama about Turkey and stuff.
He became kind of a right-wing weirdo. You're an idiot.
I'm sorry. Did you see the
memes about Enes Freedom? And they said that apparently, I don't know if it's Erdogan put a, or someone in Turkey, I don't know if it was the president or someone else, put out a $500,000 bounty
yeah.
on his head. And somebody tweeted, even his bounty is league minimum.
Okay, who is the Swiss bull?
Tabo Cephalosha.
Oh, okay. He wasn't in the 2010s. He was with the Thunder.
Well, when was he with the Bull?
I don't know, because I know he was there with the Thunder in like 2011.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, fine. You still wouldn't have gotten it. You wouldn't have gotten Tabo.
He was also with Atlanta for a bit too, I believe.
I think you're right. And then he was involved in that high profile police brutality case, right?
Yeah, traded to OKC in 2009. You screwed me up.
Yeah, didn't he get beaten up by a cop? Like, get his leg broken?
I did not know about that.
Yeah, I think that got settled. I'm not sure. All right, that brings us to the organization's Win Championships College Showdown, where I am getting boat raced. It has not been good for me. This is where we trade off by giving each guy three players. I'm 11, 15, and 1. Jason's got like the Ron Guidry 1978 numbers. He's 24 and 3 at this point in the OWC College Showdown. He gets three active players to determine where they went to college, and then Jason gives me three vintage players. I'm going to fire away first, Jay. Here we go. And I picked a couple of vets here because I've been doing a lot of youngsters. So Orlando veteran guard Gary Harris.
Michigan State. Correct. AK traded for him with Yusuf Nurkic and Doug McDermott because Gary Harris was the 19th overall pick in that draft. He was a Bulls draft pick.
Correct. But I didn't ask all that.
You're welcome.
Lakers guard, local product, and Major Loon, Patrick Beverly.
Major Loon.
Arkansas. Yes, correct. And finally, the one difficult one. This is Minnesota forward. It's not Matty Ice, but Matt Ryan.
Oh, the Lakers, dude. He's in the G League. Oh. No, I'm not. Oh, this is a good one. He looks like a dude that went to Iowa, but that's not right. So don't count me on it. But doesn't he? I'm not wrong. Or Wisconsin. That's very true. He also kind of looks like a dude who went to Creighton. He definitely went to a small school. I don't know. Nebraska?
Nope.
Damn it.
Nope.
Where'd he go?
He went to Chattanooga.
Oh, yeah. I would not have gotten that. Okay. Well, yeah. That was a good one. Chattanooga is actually good. They almost beat Illinois last year in the tournament.
Chattanooga were the moccasins, and they used to be like the water moccasins. And then everything, they became now, I think, the mockingbirds, right?
I think they're the mocks,
but it's because of Mockingbird, even though it was moccasin, but then they realized they shouldn't be moccasin, so they tried being the snake, and then that didn't stick, and now they're a bird. So it goes. Who you got?
No, they're the mocks.
They are. But I was just giving you, they were originally moccasin, but then it became insensitive to be Native American.
Yes.
Fine. God, start.
I'm okay. Former Spurs guard James Silas.
I couldn't even pick him out of a lineup.
He's in the ABA. You knew
James Paul Silas. You saying
James? He averaged like 13 points.
James Silas. I have no idea.
Look him up. Have you never heard of him?
No.
James Edward Silas.
No, I don't know him. I might have had a basketball
two-time,
card.
Two-time ABA All-Star.
Well, I don't know the ABA. I'm not that old.
And then he played in the NBA. Dad, he played until 1982.
Okay, well, that's a little before a lot
I've
of
done
like
some
fans.
Of that too with bigger. Okay,
with really famous guys. Yeah, that's
sorry.
A deep
cut. Sorry, sorry. I think you should just be better at knowing retro basketball players. He went to Stephen F. Austin.
I'm sorry, I didn't know that James Silas went to Stephen F. Austin. Who else?
Rick knew that his son went to NIU. So,
because Rick went to NIU, otherwise he wouldn't have known that.
Well, I mean, he knows who James Silas is.
Oh, Xavier Silas. That name I kind of remember.
Okay. Former Rockets and journeyman guard Vernon Maxwell.
Oh, Florida.
Yeah.
He was on the great Monty Tau assistant coach Florida. The guy who gave me my first job in as a full-time broadcaster, Monty Tau, was the NC State star who was the top assistant and recruiter under Norm Sloan. And that's when they had like Dwayne Tsintsis and Maxwell and Dwayne Davis and Clifford Lett and all those guys. Yes, that I know.
Okay. And last but not least, former Magic wing Dennis Scott.
Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
That was three.
That's a good day for you.
Yeah, well, come on. Dennis, he was in college when I was in college. Dennis Scott was the guy I told you who at Cameron Indoor Stadium was one of the few opposing players who absolutely won over the Cameron Crazies, because Scott was ahead of his time. He was a chucker, and he came out for warmups early. So the students were there, and he walked out before anybody, and the student section's full. And Dennis Scott, he starts doing around the worlds, and he made it, you know, corner, wing, top, wing, corner. And the crowd's going crazy. And then everybody in the Duke crowd is going, half court shot. And again, this is like at least an hour before the game. So he starts whipping the crowd into, like waving his arms, like, let's go. Goes to half court and shoots just a jump shot. Like not a heave, not a push, just a jump shot, bottom of the net. And the Duke home crowd just goes, he completely won him. Once the game started, they went back to being jerks to him. But it was Dennis Scott. It was Brian Oliver, who later was my roommate in the CBA with the Rockford Lightning, and Kenny Anderson, the great point guard. That was Lethal Weapon 3.
How do you know this much about very specific players, but you don't know where Michael Cooper went to college?
Because I didn't have any professional interaction with Michael Cooper.
Still, it's Michael.
I was in the back of the plane playing cards with Michael Cooper, taking his money, like I was with so many of these other guys we talked.
You took people's money?
Well, I mean, I didn't take it, but if we were playing some, card game or dominoes,
you heard it here. You heard it here first, folks. Dan Bernstein solicits his son to gamble.
I didn't solicit you to gamble. What are you talking about?
I'm kidding.
You'd be an awful gambler.
People at school have actually told me I'd be a great gambler, but I don't, because I don't feel like it.
Wait. Charles Oakley had an actual credit card machine for gambling debts? Oh, that's right. He punched. Was it Tyrone Hill? I think Charles Oakley played so much. They played Tunk and they played Bure. And Oakley got in so many fights with people over gambling debts. It was Alvin Robertson. And I think Tyrone Hill was something like he never paid a card gambling debt. Oh, we both have to read Chris Herring's book, Blood in the Garden. That's absolutely true. All right. That's going to do it for episode 10. Episode 10 of Organizations Win Championships. We'll be back after we know the outcome of the game in Paris against the lowly Pistons. If they lose this one, I might
wave my ass around. I don't know.
You might do that anyway.
Thanks. Yeah, they better not lose this game.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Good morning.
No, you don't know the bit.
I don't know the bit.
On the Burns and Allen show, he would say, she played dumb, and George Burns would say goodnight, Gracie, and she'd say, goodnight, Gracie. I didn't say it was a good bit. I just said,
No, you say that.
What? Good night. Meeting is adjourned. All right, bye.
We can help ourselves.